right, let's go. The creed, the last part of this creed message. We actually started, we started back in January. January 20th is when we started the creed. And so we've been doing it like a low barbecue, like a barbecue. How do you do it?
Low and slow.
That's how we've been teaching this, the creed. So if this is your first time, you haven't been here for a while, we are doing a review of all the things that we talked about over this. So you came at a great, great time. So the title of my message is The Creed, Amen. Because that's the final line of the creed. All God's people said, Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we have been talking about this for 17 weeks now. And so let's just go, seriously, 17 weeks. A short 17-week series on the creed. But it's important. Listen, I don't know if you know, like our culture, it's super important that the church is unified. And there's nothing that unifies the church like this creed. Like I can talk to my good Presbyterian pastor friend of mine, solid guy, and man, we disagree on some things, but man, when it comes to the creed, we are right on. Amen. I can talk to my different denominational background, different charismatic background people, and we agree on this creed. We may disagree on some other things, but not on the creed. Amen. We agree on this, right? So it's super important. And one of the things it does is this creed, the creed provides a worded document for our affirmation of what we believe. Amen. The creed also protects us and has been protecting the church for 1,800 years of false doctrine. Like the creed helps us stay unified. I want you to remember as we talked about this at the very beginning, that this creed is 1,800 years old. This wasn't written in 1973. This creed was written 1,800 years ago. Like we're talking just a generation after John, the Apostle John passes away. Right? Some of the writings that John, all these guys, and they pulled it together. And this creed is something that's been handed down to us since basically the beginning of the church. Right? So this is something that's held the church together and has provided a place of unity and a place of protecting against false doctrine. You know what the creed also did? I didn't talk about this at the beginning. It also says it also identifies what we don't believe. It protects us from what we don't believe. We don't believe there's many ways to God. Not according to the Christian faith. We don't believe in reincarnation. Amen? We don't believe that you can make up your own rules. We don't believe those things. We believe in what the creed has taught us. We believe in what the Word of God teaches. And we hold fast to the word of faith that we preach. Amen? And lastly, it is a rallying cry for unity. If there's ever been a time that the church needs unity, it's now. Amen. When all of the differences, all of the difference of political opinions and all of those things are fine and whatever, but when we go to what we believe as Christians, we go to the Word of God. We rely on what the apostles believed, what the early church believed, and where we stand today as a church. Amen? That Jesus is the only way into salvation. So as we continue to the end, the very last phrase, Amen. Amen. It doesn't mean, like, I don't know if you know, but when you pray and you say Amen at the end of your prayer, it doesn't mean, like, the end. Right? El fin. Right? No, it's not the finale thing that you just say to, you know, to. It's not a transitional word to transition to eating your food. Right? Amen. Amen has meaning to it, right? Amen means so be it. So be it. It means truly, exactly, certainly. Amen. Amen. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I love it. When we say amen at the end of the creed, it is an affirmation that everything we've just declared, as we declare, we're going to do communion in a little bit, and then we're going to do the creed and then the communion. When we say that amen, we say exactly, I believe it just like that. I affirm, so be it. Everything I just said, so be it. Right? This is what I believe as a Christian. Right? And as I make that declaration, so be it. So what are we saying so be it about? Right? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to take you on a little bit of a journey this morning at the end of this series. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1, we're reading out of the CSB. He says, Paul says, Paul speaking, writing, he says, "I want to make clear for you, brothers and sisters, the gospel I preached to you, which you received, on which you have taken your stand." How many of y'all have taken your stand in the gospel that God's that has been preached? "And by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the message I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." You can believe in vain. We'll get to that. "For I press on to you as the most important that I also received that Christ," listen, here's Paul, a little mini creed right here. He says, "that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas," or talking about Peter, "then to the 12. Like, so here Paul's saying, here's what I've preached. Here is the mini creed, if you will, right here in the middle of this thing that says, listen, that we preach this word of faith and that we pray that you don't receive it in vain. That what you believe, it actually affects you. I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but the end of, where am I at here? Let me do it right here. So when we recite the creed, and we say the amen, amen, it is the I believe of all the I believes that you just said. Yeah. That you, like, this is where I take my stand as a Christian. Yeah. But then watch this. That's not all that Paul says. Four verses later, in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 15, he says this, "For I am the least of the apostles." If you know Paul's story about his persecution of Christians and the killing of Christians. He was actually there when the very first martyr was stoned to death, giving his yes to that. He says, "Not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." How would you like that to be your testimony? That's what you came out of. He says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was," watch this, "not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them." Is that what? Paul, are you like trash talking? Like, what are you saying here? Like I worked harder than all of those other apostles. Like, he is making this statement like I don't know, like a guy in the NBA playoffs or something, talking trash. Yeah, Trae Young. Nobody watches basketball. But it's like, he says, in another version, it says that his grace on me was not without effect, because it caused something. What Paul believed, watch this, Christians, what Paul believed caused him to act differently. It caused him to be different. It says what the message that Paul received, the grace of God that poured into Paul, he said it wasn't without effect. It wasn't preached to me in vain. I didn't receive the grace in vain. It caused me to do something different. Paul, a persecutor and killer of Christians, but since he believed, the grace that came to him changed him and did something, produced things in him. Now watch this in James chapter 2 and verse 18. "But some will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works." Watch what James says. "And I will show you faith by my works." You believe that God is one? Good. Even the demons believe and they shudder. Like, yeah. Okay, James. We need to understand that what we believe, and this is one of my phrases that you'll hear over and over as long as you come to this church. What you believe has to, not should, it has to affect what you think, what you say, and what you do. Because listen, you're not saved by what you do, but by your own faith, it causes you to act differently. And let me just say, just because you walked an aisle 20 years ago and said a little prayer, listen, you are a Christian and you're different. You're called to be different. We talked about that rub last week. That, yeah, I can't judge your faith. I cannot. But we need to be as believers. Is what I believe affecting any part of my life? And if it's not, that's problematic. For you. What we believe should affect what we think, what we say, and what we do. Somebody told me, prophesied over me this morning in prayer. They said, David, be bold. You got it. So it's their fault. Listen, what our culture doesn't need is wishy-washy Christianity. Amen. What our culture doesn't need are people who say one thing and they live another way. Amen. It's time that the church be the church. And bless God, you know, I don't care what people say about me. I don't care what people say. Are you kidding me? Of what God has done for me? What I've experienced of the great grace of God? That when I thought like my life had no meaning and no purpose, God came in and rescued me. He forgave me of all of my weirdness. He rescued my marriage when it was on the verge of divorce. And what am I supposed to do? Oh, I'm just going to live a wishy-washy Christian life. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? But I so identify with Paul, don't you? But by the grace of God, I am who I am. Like, if you only knew me. Like, come and see me and my family when I'm not walking in the grace of God. You'll see, like, maybe some real me. Amen? Amen? As a pastor friend of mine always said, amen or oh me. So let's dive into this again. So when we say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. How does that affect you? Do you really believe that God is the creator of all things? Yes. Do you believe that God is the Almighty God? Do you believe the same thing that the angel spoke to Mary and says, with God, all things are possible? Do you believe that God is still the God who hears and answers your prayer? And He is able to save you to the utmost. He is able to deliver you. He has the power. It's not on you. That God is the Almighty God. And we are not. Right? That He is God. It changes how we believe. It changes how we think. And then we go down to, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. And then it goes on to explain, right? Who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. On the third day, He rose again from the dead. Do we believe that? He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, He will come to judge the living and the dead. That God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. So that affects everything. It affects how we live. That Jesus rose from the dead and conquered hell and the grave. That means my friend in Daytona, Kristen, that she has the confidence that she can believe, she can know. Yeah. It's not just a wish, it's not just a hope, it's not a fairy tale. Yeah. That she knows where her brother is. Yeah. Because she knows in whom he believed. She knows. We know that those who have gone on before us, to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. That we know that through that Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave. And it changes how we think. And then Jesus is the judge. I'm not the judge. Jesus is the judge. And if we believe that Jesus is the judge, then I can't live my own life by my own wisdom. I don't have the I don't have the ability to live my life by my own wisdom. I live by the grace of God. I live by the Word of God. I live by the fact that Jesus is the judge. And we charismatics like this. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Helper. That changes how you live life. Parents, it changes how you parent. The Holy Spirit is there to help us, to remind us of the ways of Jesus, to give us, and not only that, empower us to live out this faith that we profess. That I love my wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for, through not through my own strength, but through the power of the Holy Spirit within me. And my wife sees to it that she respects and walks and helps me, not by her own strength, but by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in her. Like, don't come to me and say, well, you guys are just soulmates. And y'all, your marriage just worked because you just married the right one. We did marry the right one by the work of the Holy Spirit. And then through the power of the Holy Spirit, it's not by some chance. Like, don't come to me and tell me that y'all just are perfect for each other. We work hard on our marriage. We die to our flesh for our marriage. We don't just spit out things that we want to say. But they're there. Are they not, Julie? They are. You may think them, but you don't say them. Marriage class over, right there. Yeah. Yeah. Wisdom. That's 25 years of wisdom. That the Holy Spirit helps us. When we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit helps us and prays with us. Do you live your life with the knowledge of the Holy Spirit? Because if you do, you know you're not alone. You're not alone in your problem. Jesus said it like this. He said, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. Child of God, you are not an orphan. You are not an orphan this morning. You are not alone this morning. You're like, nobody gets me. The Holy Spirit gets you. God gets you. Amen? And he's working in you. If we believe that it changes how I live, I show you my faith by what I do. We believe in the Holy Christian Church, the communion of the saints. We believe that that's a fundamental part of our Christian walk, is the church. It changes how I view my life. It changes priorities in my life. It changes how we think. It changes, like Julie said so well. She didn't even know I was going to say this. It helps us to view this thing. This thing's bigger than just me. This thing called the gospel, this thing called the Christian church is bigger than just me. I'm called into a Christian community of fellow believers, of like-minded people, to encourage each other. Build each other up. It says, see that you daily encourage one another and build each other up. The scripture goes on to say, so that you won't fall into the temptations and the evil of sin. That we believe that we don't do life alone. We don't do life on an island. That we do life together. Pray for one another. Encourage one another. It says, confess your faults to one another so that you may be healed. I remember going through some stuff, going through some addiction problems and all those things. I remember God spoke to me so clearly. He said, David, there's some things that I choose to heal through other people. And you're not going to get it straight with me. You're going to get it through the body that I've created to work together in. Amen? That we're called to do this together. That's why he said confess. That's a command. Confess your faults one to another, that you may be healed. Amen? There's people around us. That also means, listen, that coming to church and coming to being a part of a gathering is not just for you. It's for others. Like, don't we need to understand that just because you're here, we all know. We went through the pandemic, right? We know what it was like. Yeah, some of y'all remember going to two services. And like literally, like a couple of people on a Sunday morning, like first service would have like six people. Like, wow, that's encouraging. Amen. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, yeah. But when the church gathers together, there's something that happens when the church gathers together that I can look over at Maurice and go, man, Maurice, he loves Jesus, man. You see the way he worships God? That encourages me. Yeah. That builds me up, right? See all these other faces that you see? You go, wow, that encourages me. Man, like, you know, thank God. Thank God. Amen? Eric, thank God Eric's here. He hasn't left the faith. Praise God. God's still working. I can say it, Eric. Does that make sense? We're part of it. Listen, what you believe changes how you act, changes what you do. That we have the forgiveness of sin. Come on. Come on. Like, no more do I approach God like, oh, God, I screwed up again. God, will you accept me? No, God says, this is what I sent my son for. I sent my son because I knew you were never going to be good enough. I knew you weren't going to make it on your own. I knew that without me, it was impossible. That through the blood of Jesus, that I know what you're going to do, and there's forgiveness already paid for you. Confess that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So now I can boldly approach the throne of grace to find help in time of need. I don't have to bow my head in shame. I don't have to, because God, through Jesus, if we really believed that my sins were forgiven, think about that. Think about for you. Do you know that the biggest thing for us is not just the sin? Because the devil doesn't really care what sin it is. It's the shame that comes with us. Because if he can keep the church in shame, then you won't boldly approach the throne of grace. And it's separate, the very thing that the enemy, like, is crazy. He'll get you to sin, and then he'll pound you for that sin, right, and to keep you away from God. Right. But Jesus has forgiven you of sin. He's caused life to come in you. That now, like, God says, I know, I got you. Yeah. The Bible says the righteous fall seven times and get up. Yeah. Aren't you glad about that? Amen. Like, if you really believe that, it would change everything. Like, the Christian walk is not sin management. It's right standing with God through Jesus. Yes. Like, sin never existed. That's amazing. What if we really believed it? What if this creed, like, is something we really believed? Why'd you spend 17 weeks on it? Because this affects everything. And the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. I will live for eternity. This life, Scripture says, it's like a blade of grass. It's like a vapor. I forgot the guy's name. I can't think of his name right off the top of my head. But he talks about, he does the rope. Francis Chan. He does a message. Actually, I did it here a while back ago. That was years ago. A while back ago. But he takes this rope. Actually, we took a rope, and we took it. It stretched all the way to the end of the building. And we put a little bitty red dash on it. Stole it from Francis Chan. Put a little red dash. He says, that's your life here. On this little part of this going on forever rope. This is your life here. And what you do here matters for here. So that changes how I act here. If I know that I will live for eternity, I love what Matt Chandler said. I said it last week. He said when he had cancer, he was battling cancer, and he thought the possibility of him going to meet Jesus, he said, I didn't have a problem putting my flesh under. I didn't have a problem walking in sin because I was about to meet Jesus. It makes it really different. Like Pete, he said, that was a different perspective. And if I'm eternally minded, I know that my neighbors eternally will live for eternity. And it matters to me how I live. It matters to me how I carry myself as a Christian among my coworkers. It matters to people. It matters to me that if people know I'm a follower of Jesus, or just put the name pastor in front of you. People have all different kind of expectations about you then, and other expectations about how terrible you might be and all those things. But as you put your name, you put your fish on your car, you better drive right. Don't be flipping people off with your fish on your car. I'm going to heaven, are you? Flipping people off and... That's not. Y'all don't do that. It's all those other people that you've seen. That I will live, listen, I will live like I will see Jesus. And that my life here is not eternity. It matters. So then we say, amen.